I'm glad our young people are up here today. I did this as a devotional a couple times with youth groups. It's good for all of us, but I especially hope our young people will pay attention today. We're going to talk about the shepherd who became king. If you listen to the world, you have to be tall, skinny, good-looking, and rich in order to be successful. One out of four isn't bad. But, you know, I mean, our young people are under such a stress to look a certain way, hang with a certain group, and if they don't, they feel like they're nobody. And God doesn't make nobodies. Every one of us has been created in His image, and He has a plan for your life if you're a child of God. The Bible talks about that very specifically. And we want to talk today about a shepherd in whom God saw a king when He looked at him. The text is from 1 Samuel 16. We'll read the first 13 verses. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do, and you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to the sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Father, I thank you that your word does not return to you void. It will accomplish just what you send it out to do. And I pray, Lord, that your word will have your way here this morning in the hearts of every hearer. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would walk the aisles, that you would encourage us, convict us, rebuke us, whatever it is that you need to do in our hearts this morning, that you would make us more into the people of Christ. Lord, if there's any here that does not know you, that has never received you as Savior, I pray this will be the day of salvation. And I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the anointing to preach and teach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saul had been king for several years before David was born. Israel decided they wanted to be like all the other nations. They didn't have a king. They had the priesthood. It's called a theocracy. They had a God government. God speak to the priests and the prophets and to the people, and they decide they want to be like the other nations. That's exactly what they said. "We want a king just like the other nations." Well, Samuel was a judge at this time. He went and prayed about it, and he was very annoyed. And God said, "Samuel, this isn't you they're talking against. It's me." So he said, I'm going to give them a king. But Samuel went, and the Lord said, I want you to warn them of what a king's going to do. And Samuel went and talked to the people, and he said, all right, God said you can have a king if that's what you want. But he said, this king is going to tax you. This king's going to take a tithe of all your goods and give them to his servants. He's going to take the best of your sons and daughters as servants. He's going to take the best of some of your lands and have it farmed to feed him and his staff. He said, and if he obeys God, good. If he doesn't, bad. And it said, the people still said, no, we want a king. And Samuel said, all right, God's going to give you what you asked for. And there was a man named Saul, and when God picked him, everybody liked his choice. It said Saul was a head and shoulders taller than any of the other men in Israel. And he was a very handsome man. They figure Saul had to be about 6'6", at least. Big, tall, fine-built young man, good-looking young man. And when God said, okay, he can be the king, they liked the idea. And Samuel anointed Saul to be king. And then he turned around and said, just to show you how wickedly you've acted in asking for a king, he said, it's time for the wheat harvest. He said, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to send rain and thunder on the wheat. And then you'll know that you've done wickedly. And he prayed and he said, it rained and it thundered and come down on that wheat. And the people said, we sinned. We sinned. They always said that after the fact. Well, we sinned. He told them before, you're sinning, but now they said, now we've sinned. And Samuel said, well, I'm going to keep praying for you. He said, I won't sin against you by not doing that. But in essence, Samuel and God said to Israel, you got what you asked for and everything that comes with it. Well, when Saul started out, he was a humble man. He was very attentive to what God had to say, but it didn't last very long. Saul got full of himself. He was the king after all. Boy, everybody bowed to him and everybody called him Lord. Everybody did everything he said. And before long, he got the big head. And he started doing things contrary to what God told him to do. At one time, Samuel told him, I'm going to meet you in 7 days. They were fighting with the Philistines at that time. And God had gave Saul some victories. And Samuel said, I'm going to come up in 7 days and offer a sacrifice before the battle. Well, Samuel had been dedicated to the Lord as a little boy by his mother, and Eli the priest raised him, so he was allowed to give sacrifices. And it said Samuel was late, so Saul offered the sacrifice, and Samuel came to him and said, what are you doing? He said, well, everybody was starting to scatter, so I went ahead and offered the sacrifice, and Saul said, what's the big deal? You know, I offered a sacrifice and blessed him in the name of the Lord. And Samuel more or less said, that's not your job. Even though you are the king, you can't do that. He said, you've acted very foolishly. Well, a little later, there was a king that God ordered Saul to wipe out the whole nation, the Amalekites. They were a very wicked people. God said, I want you to kill men, women, children, babies, donkeys, sheep, oxen. I don't want nothing of theirs left. So it said Saul attacked him, and he kept the king alive, and he kept the sheep, and he kept the camels and the donkeys. And Samuel went to meet him, and Saul said, hey, blessed of the Lord, I did what the Lord told me to do. And Samuel said, well, then how come I hear sheep bleeding? He said, all the guys wanted to keep the best of the sheep to give sacrifice to God. You know, we can justify doing things sometimes for good reasons, and God doesn't want anything to do with it. Samuel said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings as much as he does obedience? He said, Saul, you're a fool. And he said, by the way, God's going to take your kingdom away from you. You can't be king anymore. He said, there's a man after God's own heart, and he's going to make him king. In fact, he said, he's already made him king. Well, that didn't set well with Saul. And that's where we come in today when God told Samuel, fill your horn with oil, the anointing oil, and I want you to go anoint this man that I tell you to anoint. Of course, Samuel says, if Saul finds out what I'm doing, he'll kill me, and Saul would have. Saul got very paranoid. Saul got to thinking everybody was after his throne and his crown. He forgot God placed him there, and he thought it was his. And even when Samuel prophesied, Saul started thinking, there's got to be a way I can stop this. So Samuel has to sneak off under the pretense of a sacrifice, which he wasn't lying. He just didn't tell the whole truth. He said, well, I'm going to go over here and offer this sacrifice. When the elders met him, they trembled. Samuel was a prophet, and the Bible says not one word of his fell to the ground. That's how God watched over him. Whatever Samuel said happened. So the guilty flee when no one pursues. And it says when they saw the prophet coming, they began to tremble. Kind of like sometimes when the preacher comes calling. You know, I wonder if I'm in trouble. Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Now, not that I'm a great prophet like Samuel was, but when they saw Samuel coming, they automatically assumed there's a problem. Oh, man, here comes the prophet. And so they came out trembling, and he said, no, I just come here to offer sacrifice. In fact, you sanctify yourselves, and you can eat the sacrifice. We've been studying this in Leviticus. That's the fellowship offering. When they would offer the fellowship offering, in essence, they would sit down and eat lunch with God. God promised, in a sense, I'll eat with you. So this was a way they would fellowship and eat and praise God for His goodness, and God would bless that. And it was very important to these people. And he said, I want you to get Jesse and his sons also and invite them to this sacrifice. Not everybody could come. It was by invitation only. And this was an honor. So Jesse and his boys put on their best clothes. They slicked back their hair. You know, they put a little witch hazel behind their ears or whatever it is they wore back then for cologne. They got all gussied up and they showed up for the dinner. And this man of God, this prophet, does what a lot of us do, young people. He looked at this tall, good-looking oldest brother and he said, that's got to be the one God's going to choose. He thought he had God figured out because Saul was a tall, good-looking man. And he looked at Eliab and said, that's the Lord's anointed. And God rebuked him. He said, I don't look at people the way you do. Aren't you glad of that? Samuel looked at Eliab and said, that's a king. Tall, good-looking, strapping young man. That's the kind of man people want to follow. That's got to be the one God's chosen. And God said, no, Samuel, I've rejected him. I don't want him as a king. He said, I don't look at people the way you do. Young people, I want you to remember that today. I don't care what the worldview is. And maybe you think you're not a very important person, or maybe you think you're not ever going to grow up to be anything. And I'm not trying to say today, don't go out here and say, Brother Rick said we're all going to be kings. That's not what I'm saying. Everybody can't be a king. Everybody can't be the President of the United States. But I'm saying that every one of you has a purpose in life. God has created you for that purpose. And when He looks at you, He sees you exactly for the purpose He's created you for. And you're somebody to Him. The world can look at you and say, well, they're not very important. They're not very well educated. They don't have money. They don't come from good family. They're just going to be laborers all their life. What's the matter with being a laborer? Some of the finest men I've known is hardworking men. Go out and sweat by their brow and earn a living. Men of integrity and honesty. Nothing wrong with that. Don't let the world sell you, bill of goods, young lady, that if you marry and raise a family, you're less woman. That's a lie of the world. Motherhood is one of the highest callings of God when you read the Scriptures. Samuel's mother asked God for a son and said, if you'll give him to me, I'll give him to you for life. God gave her that son. She dedicated him to the Lord. And then she had like five more kids. You can't outdo God. And God had a purpose for that young man. God had a purpose for this young man. And he said, well, bring the next. And the next one comes through and the Lord goes, nope. Which tells me Samuel's probably saying, is this the one, God? You know, kind of under his breath. Nobody could, no, that's not the one. Then the next one, Shema, is this the one? He goes, no, that's not the one. And he runs all seven sons by and Samuel realizes the one God wants to anoint in there. And this is terrible. He looks at his dad and he goes, is this all your kids? He goes, nah, there's David. He's out taking care of the sheep. You know, kind of like Briscoe Darling said about one of his boys. The boy's doesn't have much personality. You don't even notice when he's in the room. And it's like his dad said, well, I got one more kid, but
He's a shepherd.
You know, even though the Jews were shepherds and farmers, the farmers kind of looked down on the shepherds. The shepherds stayed alone a lot. They stayed outside a lot. They didn't get to go to a lot of the feast that the Jews went to because they were taking care of the sheep. They probably didn't go to temple as much as some people did. Somebody had to watch the sheep. And it was usually given to the least person in the house. That was their job, and that was David's job. And his dad said, well, just David. His dad didn't even think to invite him to this dinner. And I didn't read where Samuel said, invite everybody but your youngest son. He said, I want all your sons at the dinner. And dad didn't even think to include David. Sometimes young people, even mom and dad will look at you and try to limit you. And sometimes young people, mom and dad will try to put a calling on your life that is not from God. You obey your folks. You obey your parents. You do what they tell you to do, but you listen to the Lord also. Because He'll guide you where He wants you to go. And I cannot stress that enough today, young people. God has a plan for your life. Well, they called David in, and the Bible says he was ruddy. I looked that word up in the Hebrew and the Greek both. It means red. And they say generally when referring to a person, they were red-haired and light-complected. Now, in a group of people that are dark-haired and olive-complected, David stood out. He was the white boy, if you will. Kind of the white sheep of the family, if I could say that. And he's a little different. And when you read about David, I can imagine David was a very quiet young man. He spent a lot of time alone. He was an accomplished musician. Being out in the field watching the sheep, he had a lot of time to practice. He wrote songs and poetry. But he also had a very intimate relationship with God because he did spend so much time alone. And he was a teenager at this time. They figure he was 16, 17 years old. And here comes David with his harp hanging over his back. You know, and everybody looks at him and goes, are you kidding me? And I can imagine his brothers going, not David. He's the runt. He can't be a king. And God said, anoint him. That's the one I've chosen. He told Samuel, he's after my own heart. And when you start reading in the Psalms, the poems and the songs that David wrote, you can see why. David had a relationship very few people had in those days with God. He had an understanding about who God was. God's people can even be wrong. Sometimes in the church, we try to put a call on you. I remember in the Nazarene church, a lady came up to me and said, you're called to preach. Well, I thought I was. But I'd been felt like that since I was 12 years old, and I thought I blew that call. Got into drugs, everything else. You know, God can't use somebody like me. I just feel that you're called to preach. Almost prophesied over me. I said, well, all right. That's cool. Then there was another guy come to church, could quote Scripture. Man, that guy could quote Scripture. And just loony as a caged coon. And she went up and said, I believe you're called to preach. And I got her offside and said, if you talk to him, this guy ain't called to preach. This is a David Koresh in the making. I kid you not. You know, and what it did for me, I thought, okay, Lord, all right, yeah. I'm not going to let her or anybody else put a call on me. But you know what amazes me? That back when I was in the world, and I had a chance to die a couple times, real good chance. I was even pronounced dead once. Got my face covered up. That was a drag. You ever have somebody pull a sheet over your face and say they're gone? It will shake you up. But God looked at me when nobody else could see anything worth anything. And He said, that's a preacher. That's how God saw me. He said, that's a man I'm going to use in my service. Well, that's pretty far-fetched. Well, there was a man named Saul of Tarsus, was a Pharisee. He hated the church. He would make Christians blaspheme. He drug them to court. He witnessed against them till they were put to death. And Jesus one day stopped him on the road to Damascus and said, I'm going to use you. And he became the greatest missionary in the early church. Two-thirds of the New Testament written by Paul. You see, Jesus Christ looked at Saul the murderer and the blasphemer, and he said, I can use somebody like that. I see a preacher. When the world looks at you and you just don't look like much to them, God can look at you and say, man, they're worth something to me. He offered the blood of His Son to save you. That's how important you are. Excuse me. David was a shepherd. As I said, he spent a lot of time alone. He's the kind of guy people kind of overlooked. He was a musician, a composer. He was the run of the litter. He was also a man of integrity. Saul inducted David into his service. And it said an evil spirit from the Lord would come on Saul. The scholars agree that this means God allowed an evil spirit to come upon him. See, nothing can happen that God doesn't give his permission for. Even Satan has to get permission. He's not a free-ranging deity that can do whatever he wants, or entity that can do whatever he wants. He has to get permission. And that's hard to swallow as a Christian sometimes. But Saul had grieved God, and God said, I'm done with him. And he took the Holy Spirit off of Saul. And it said, an evil spirit. And his men said, let's find somebody that can play the harp real well. And one of the guys said, there's this kid named David, a son of Jesse. Said, he's a very skilled musician. Let's have him come in. And David would play. And it said, Saul would be soothed and relieved, and the spirit would leave. So Saul said, I want you as my armor bearer. So now he's in. He's in the king's house. And he served Saul faithfully for 15 plus years, even when Saul tried to kill him. And when David's men saw two opportunities that David could kill Saul, they said, the Lord's put him in your hand. Kill him. A lot of people would have followed that advice. David said, I'm not going to touch him. He's been anointed by God. That's integrity. David said, mm-mm. God anointed that guy to be king. I'm not going to lay a hand on him. David said, let God take care of him. Think about that. David had already been anointed to be king. He didn't walk into Saul's house and say, hey, you're out. I've just been anointed to be king. God anointed me. So you can pack up what you have here and move out. I'm taking over. He didn't presume that. God looked at him and said, you're a king. Everybody else looked at him and said, you're a shepherd. And as far as everybody else was concerned, he was just a shepherd. But David knew he was a king. David knew God called him to be a king. But David didn't presume on that. He said, God has called me to this, and it'll be in God's timing when I'll be king. And I think there were probably times that David kind of wondered, did I understand him correctly? When he was in the desert living in caves, hiding from Saul to keep his head on his shoulders. And I'm sure there was time he questioned that and said, did I hear right? If God's anointed me to be a king, man, I'd hate to see what other life I'd have if I wasn't going to be king. This guy's trying to kill me. And all David ever did was be faithful to him and to God. When I got off the truck, somebody suggested to me that I should have filed a workman's comp injury. I'm not bragging on me. This is what they said. I said, no, I can't do that. Because a Christian, I won't do it. When they canceled my disability insurance, one guy looked at me and said, see what you get for trying to do what's right. That's the world. You see what? You know, everybody else cheats. You should have cheated. I said, God will take care of me. And He's going to take care of everything else. I'd rather not have that money than to be a liar and have money coming in for lying. I'm not bragging on me. That's what Jesus Christ in me makes me feel. He's opened my eyes in that area, and I don't want it. If it's not from Him, I don't need it. But that's the worldview. Yeah, you should have lied. You know, you should have cheated. You should have got what you could out of everybody. That's not the way God works. David's men said, you should kill him. He's in your power. And David said, he's anointed by God. I'm not touching him. David said, I'll let God deal with him. How long did it take God to deal with him? About 15 years. David went around for 15 years knowing God had anointed him as a king, but he did not presume. He didn't push. He didn't try to force his way into that. He didn't try to force God's hand. David said, I'll let God take care of this. That's integrity. That's faith. David waited on God for God to make him a king in his time. Young people, you need to learn to trust the Lord in all situations. There are going to be times you're going to think, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, and everything's going to come against you that could in life, and you're going to think, God, what's the matter? Nothing is the matter. It's not that God's angry with you. It's not that God's forsaken you, but God is letting you go through the fire. You see, He fires up everything that He accepts. He says, I chastise you when I accept you as a child. I punish you. I let you go through trials. I let you go through things that you just think, I can't take any more of this. And God says, I do this to purify you, but I still love you. David spent 15 years learning to be a king. 15 years. How many of you would wait that long? Think about that. How many of you would hang on that long and say, I still believe God, this is what God has in my life, and I'm going to see this through to the end. I'm just convinced this is what God has. I dare say a lot of us would have quit and said, God, I'm going back to the sheep. They don't try to kill me. Life's less complicated when I was herding sheep. But see, the Spirit of the Lord had come upon David, and David knew God had called him for a purpose. Mom and dad, be very careful when you're raising your young people. Grandparents, aunts, and uncles, you have a lot of influence on these youth. Be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit when they're dealing with your young people. I've had young people come to me and say, what do you think about this comic book or this music or this show? And I like to say, why are you asking me? What's the Holy Spirit saying? And they always go, well, and I know that right there and then God's dealing with them about some kind of an issue, and they want the preacher to override the Lord. If Rick says it's okay, then I can get away with this. Rick, don't play that way. If you come to me and say, is it all right for a Christian to get a tattoo? I'm going to throw it right back at you. What's the Bible say? Well, that's the law, and I don't know we're under the law. Well, then stop asking me. Go get a tattoo. It ain't my tattoo. I don't care. Go get one. Tattoo your whole face. But when you have to come and ask me if it's okay, that tells me the Spirit of God's telling you it's not okay. Or it's not okay to do this or to make this choice. Now, I'm not talking about asking advice. That's all right. But very often, I heard of a man whose son said he was being called to the missions, and his dad said, there's no money in that, boy. You got to leave everything that's familiar, and you're taking a chance of getting killed. God wouldn't ask you to do something like that. Oh, really? Well, I don't think He would. Because it makes me uncomfortable. There's no money in it. How are you going to make a living? Jesus said, don't take any thought about what you're going to eat or your clothes. Nice easy sat here fully clothed and with a full belly and say that. But what if God's calling you to the missions? We read last week where God was calling Moses to a mission field, and Moses could think of every reason in the world why he couldn't go. And God thought of one good reason why he better go. He said, I've called you, and you need to go. Is God calling you to a ministry in this body? He's going to supply you with exactly what you need to fulfill a ministry He's calling you to. Well, I can't teach. I'd never taught either until the first time I taught. And I thought it was a flop. I've got a tape at home of the first sermon I preached at Bible college, and I don't let anybody watch it but me. I sat there going, man, get to the point. What are you trying to say? You know, and them professors were kind. They'd encourage us. Well, yeah. I told my wife years ago, if somebody would have ever told me I was going to get up in front of a bunch of people and preach, I'd have laughed at them and said, not me. I'm the kid that when I read a paper at school, I stood here like this. The teacher said, get your paper down, Rick. I can't see you. That's the point. I don't want to see you. I don't want you looking at me. I did not like being in front of people. But God has gifted me. I'm not bragging. I'm saying God has gifted me to teach. And I don't say that in arrogance. I've had people say, man, I wish I could remember the Scriptures like you can. I can't remember the Scriptures, but the Holy Spirit does. I'm a vessel. I want to be used by the Holy Spirit. My job, my goal, my call in life is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. That is my call. That is the church's call. And God will give the gifts as He wills. And somebody might look at you and say, I can't picture them doing that. Don't worry what they think. Because God looks at you and says, you're exactly the person I want for this. You're the only one here that's going to be able to do what I want you to do. David could have made excuses. When Saul was trying to kill him, David could have said, this is getting too hard. I don't want to be king. You remember Mr. Wizard, the Lizard? Lizard the Wizard? Do y'all remember that show? And that guy, Tudor the Turtle, would always want to be somebody. Mr. Wizard would make him somebody, and then when it got bad, he'd, help, Mr. Wizard! I don't want to do this anymore. And Mr. Wizard would pull him out. We do that with God. This is what I'm going to do. I think I can serve you like this, and God will bless it and say, yeah. And then when times get tough, it's like, help, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. But God doesn't pull you out. God says, you just stay right there. I'm going to make you into somebody I can use. What doesn't kill you is going to make you strong. God has a purpose for you. You're the only one that can do what He's called you to do. He doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't call you and then change His mind. I remember a guy left this church, said, God's telling me to move to this other church. I said, poor God. Can't make up his mind. I didn't know he was that fickle. Well, what do you mean? I said, I remember when you were in another church I was in, you said God was calling you to go to this church. This church started having problems. Then God told you to go to that church. That church started having problems, so God told you to go over here. I said, poor God, he just can't make up his mind where you need to be. He said, I don't think that's very funny. I said, the truth rarely is. I said, quit using God as an excuse to church hop. God will put you somewhere, and he says, stay there till I tell you to move. It's the easiest thing in the world to put God's name on it. Yep. I hear preachers do it all the time. Well, I preached there for 2 years. Then I pastored here for a year. Then I pastored there for three. That's not pastoring. That's filling a position. And when I talk to these pastors, I find out they were having trouble in the church. And they said, God, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And God's going, you were just starting to get to these people. They were just starting to know you. Pastoring's like a marriage. It's the good and the bad. I talked to an old man that was celebrating his 60th wedding anniversary. And his wife was sitting there complaining. And he looked at me and said she changed her name when she quoted the verse. But instead of for better, she changed for the worse. He said, I'm still waiting for the better. Well, now, he didn't mean that. But we do that in the church. Well, I don't like what they're doing. I don't like that music. I'm going to go find another church. That preacher made me mad. I'm going to go find another church. I don't think God wants me here. You better be real careful when you check with Him about that. If you pull out of somewhere where the Lord wants you, He is not going to be pleased with you. And remember, He's called you to do something that only you can do. And He will equip you. It didn't say Samuel poured oil on David and David had slick hair. It said the Holy Spirit come upon him. God always had a purpose for David. When the Spirit came on David, then David understood God's purpose for him. For 15 years, David fought the Philistines, led armies, and the people just said, man, what a guy. And then one day Saul died, and the people caught up to God and said, you know, he'd make a good king. And they made him king. God called him king when he was 16 years old. He was 30 before the nation of Israel recognized that call. God doesn't make mistakes. And young people, again, I'm not trying to tell you that you all grow up to be president. Sometimes mom and dad, we say, you can do anything you put your mind to. Well, not in reality, no. But I'm telling you that no matter what you do in this life, if Christ is in it, you are somebody. You are significant. You are important. And don't let anybody make you look down or feel like you're less of somebody because you're a Christian. Why don't you stand with me this morning? The Apostle Paul says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let no one who boasts boast in the Lord. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. If you're here this morning and you've not received Christ, I want to invite you to come forward and sit down up here and let's talk about it. If you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home, if you are an immersed believer in Christ, would like to place fellowship with us, come on up and we'll talk about that. If you're a Christian today and you're discouraged, young person, old person, and you think, I just don't really know what God's will for my life is, start praying about that and asking Him, and He will open the doors. It might not be what you want, but He'll tell you where He wants you. Go ahead.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. True, with thanksgiving,
prayer this morning. I guess if I put this on, I'd quit shouting. Desiree Cooley's in the hospital with staff, so be praying for her. They got her in wound treatment. Be praying for the request on the list. And again, please come and greet Jeff and Cindy into the body of Christ. I don't have any other written requests before me, so I'm going to ask Elizabeth to close in prayer for us, please.
Dear Lord, please be with us as we leave today. Keep us in with your arms around us, Lord, and let us listen to what you have to say to us. Let us let go of this earth and of this world and listen to you, Lord, because without you, we are nothing. We need your will. We need to hear it. We need to follow it. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.